So the Bible only gives us 13 verses about something that happened to Jesus in his childhood or his youth. And that may not sound like much, but it's actually more than the Bible tells us about Moses' childhood or Solomon or Paul, right? There's all kinds of Bible characters that we know nothing about how they were brought up. But when the Bible does give us information about someone's childhood, like Samuel, right, it's usually something unusual or extraordinary. So, with that in mind, what was unusual about this incident in Jesus' childhood? What stood out? What stood out was it was so normal. This is the Son of God. And it's such a... He takes the time to talk about this incident, which is really just so normal, because Jesus was and lived and acted like a normal human being. Take his hometown of Nazareth. Nazareth is never mentioned in the Old Testament. There's nothing significant about it. Remember in John chapter 1, when Philip told Nathanael they thought they had found the Messiah, and he was in Nazareth. Remember what Nathanael said? Can anything good come out of Nazareth, right? So Nazareth had nothing special about it. They didn't have a skate the lake, right? They didn't have a music festival every third Sunday or Saturday in August. They didn't have a garlic festival, right? They didn't have any of those things. It was a small town in the middle of Nowheresville. And God chose for Jesus to grow up in relative quiet and obscurity. Like many of us, growing up in rural areas in relative quiet and obscurity. So there should be lots for us to learn from Jesus' childhood, wouldn't you think? So this lone episode of Jesus' childhood during the Passover when he was 12 begins and ends the same way. Did you catch that? Verse 40, and the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was on him. And then verse 52, and Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. So the most amazing and obvious fact that right in front of our face about Jesus' humanity here is that Jesus grew, that he matured, and that he grew like all of us grow. And that was part of his becoming human like us. He emptied himself of his glory, took on the form of a servant, being made in human likeness, right, which we read last week in Philippians 2. So he was born. Yes, his birth was unusual, and it was a virgin birth, but he was physically born as any other human was born. He grew from childhood, now moving now towards adolescence. There was nothing about Jesus that would have made you think he was anything else but a very nice, well-behaved 12-year-old Jewish young man. And as he grew older, he matured. And the focus here is not so much on his physical growth, but on his spiritual maturing. So Jesus matured in spiritual qualities. Verse 40, the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was on him. And Luke writes it in such a way that all these qualities were continually increasing in him. And no doubt Jesus was growing physically stronger as he drew near to his teens. But all these words are in the spiritual sense. He was growing spiritually stronger. He was filled with wisdom. The grace of God was upon him. And it's easy to skip past this verse and not reflect on how Jesus completely allowed himself to grow in this way, like any other human being. Even spiritually allowing himself to grow through the influence of others, through people in his life. Even though, he was no different in the one sense, even though he was vastly different from everybody else around him. And yet this was all intentional on his part of humbling himself, of the humbling process that he chose to endure, all in accordance, of course, with the will of God. Well, how did he grow? I mean, are there ways in which he grew that would actually help us in our own spiritual growth? Well, I would say yes, since we have a Savior who, whom we can completely relate to, as Hebrews says, who sympathizes with us. We should be able to learn from him, even in how to grow in grace and wisdom and spiritual strength, the same things we're supposed to grow in. So then how did Jesus allow himself to grow in spiritual maturity? One of the things Jesus, the way Jesus grew, which is the way we all grow, is that Jesus grew through the example of godly influencers in his life. And the people that influenced him the most, of course, towards godliness, were his earthly parents. Joseph and Mary were godly people. We know this from Matthew 1 and Luke 1. That's why God chose them to be the human parents of the Son of God. We knew they followed the law when he was born. They did all those things. Here we see that every year his parents went up to Jerusalem for the Feast of Passover, and Passover was one day, and then it's followed by 7 days of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, so it was just called the Passover. The law said that only males were required to go to Passover and Pentecost and Tabernacles, but here we read what? His parents went up. So Mary went up as well. And so if Mary goes up, all the kids have to come, right? So the whole family, you know, faithfully went to the Passover each year. Well, where's Nazareth and where's Jerusalem, right? Well, Nazareth is in Galilee, so Nazareth is 150 kilometers from Jerusalem. Even driving, it's going to take you a little bit, right? It's going to take you over an hour. But people traveled by caravan, and they could only cover about maybe 20 miles in a day. So you're looking at least a two-day journey, which means if you stay for all 8 days, well, you're looking at a minimum of 12 days away from home. So this is not a small venture to take a family on. So it was a big sacrifice of time and energy to go to really, a conference, a spiritual, an extra worship service that you wanted to attend and be with other people. And Joseph would go again 50 days later. So Pentecost was only 50 days later. So Joseph would come back in 50 days as well. So Joseph and Mary modeled obedience to the word that following God means making sacrifices of time and energy and resources. And all this was modeled to Jesus as a young boy growing up. And kids are not dumb, right? Kids notice, right, what the parents do. Even if it's a little bit later in life, right, we know over time the sacrifices that parents make for us. And there are other godly influences as well in Jesus' life. Jesus, as we see here, interacted with the teachers of the law. It's a positive experience, unlike some of the negative experiences he has later on. But during the feast, it was common practice for the teachers of the law to hold public debates in the temple courts about the law and spiritual matters, and the public were allowed to interact with them, and Jesus does. So Jesus, this is what's going on. We understand that Jesus, right, as a Son of God, he did not need any of these people to teach him anything, correct? He's the Son of God. He knows everything, but he allows these people to impact his life and to help him grow. And that's the most important thing to understand here. Jesus allowed people to help him grow, even though he didn't even need it. And he allowed it, even though he was just like any other, as if he was any other 12-year-old Jewish boy, and even more so, obviously, he's humbling himself by allowing others to impact his life. But if he didn't, right? If he didn't, he would have demonstrated arrogance, wouldn't he have? So he wanted to act like any other 12-year-old boy. Because to act in arrogance and to say, I don't need you, that would be sin, correct? Because arrogance is sin, right? But see, God was pleased, right? God was pleased with how Jesus exhibited himself, and the people were pleased. That's what favor means. He grew in favor with God and man. He was pleased. The people and God were pleased with how Jesus exhibited himself. And the people were pleased by this smart and not arrogant and polite and well-behaved young man. So maybe part of Jesus modeling humility to be taught by others as it is an example for us to grow as Jesus did, which is humbling ourselves to allow others to teach us, allowing people to influence our life, even sometimes when we know the answers, allowing people into our life, helping them encourage us. Knowing the answers is not a sign of spiritual maturity. We read that Jesus grew in wisdom, not knowledge. They're different. Knowledge is facts. Wisdom is taking the facts and applying it. Taking knowledge and doing something with it. That's wisdom. So the feast ends, right? And the entourage of family and friends from Nazareth get ready to go. They go back together because it's always safer to travel in groups. Jesus is 12. 13 is the age for his bar mitzvah, which means son of the covenant, which is when a young man is treated as an adult at his bar mitzvah. He's a son of the covenant. He is now responsible for his own decisions. But this is a year before that. So why are we talking about when he's 12 and not when he's 13? Well, the rabbis encouraged the boys when they were 12 to come the year before. To come the year before, experience the big city, experience the interaction, experience how it's going to work. And so Jesus is there. Jesus is getting a taste of what it's like. Jesus is from the sticks of Nazareth, or Godfrey, or Ampa, or Tin Cap, right? This is Jesus, right? This is where he's from. So the kids who are from those places aren't scared to death when it's time for them to have their bar mitzvah. So they encourage the kids, the boys, to come a year earlier. So Jesus, right, on the brink, but not quite a young man, on the way back, could have traveled with the men or the women. Because the men and the women, while they travel in a caravan, you know, the men traveled by them, but with the men, and the women traveled with the children. So Jesus is 12, so he could have went with either the men or with the ladies, and so Joseph and Mary just assume he's with the other or with family. And so in the evening, they get together, they have their meal, and the families come back together, and they're like, where's Jesus? He's home alone in Jerusalem, right? So the next morning, they head back. And that takes them all day because they've already traveled about 20 miles, right? So that takes them another day to get back. And then the next day, they find him in the temple that teaches the law. Well, here's where we learn more on how to grow like Jesus. Jesus grew in how he related to people. We grow in community, do we not? And Jesus was no different. He grew in favor with God and man. Because I don't think you can grow in favor with God and not grow in favor with man. He grew in favor with God and man. He related well to people. In what ways? Well, he listened. He listened to them. You know, before I started to study the text, you know, I had it in my mind, oh yeah, Luke 2, that's where Jesus, as 12-year-old, taught the teachers of the law in the temple. Well, wait a minute, no. He didn't teach them, he listened to them. He listened to them and asked questions. Verse 46, people were amazed at his understanding and answers, right? He's being taught. He's interacting, but he's in the place of a learner. He placed himself in that role. He grew because he listened to people, and then he digested the information thoughtfully and asked good questions in his desire to show what he wanted to learn. Of course, you have to wonder, what did he ask them? What are the questions that he asked them? Well, we don't know. But I was thinking, okay, it's Passover, right? I wonder if he was asking them questions about Isaiah 53. You know, how does that work? What do you guys think? You know, it talks about the sacrifice, that he's going to be, the Messiah is going to be led like a lamb to slaughter. What does that mean? You know, it would have been a fascinating question to have asked them, just to sort of, you know, I don't know, have no idea. We have no idea what he asked them. But he obviously asked them good questions, right, that made them think and interact. Hey, this kid's smart, you know. He's got it on the ball. He's got a good handle on the Torah. He'd probably do all right in his bar mitzvah next year. But he, of course, Jesus, you know, he had the knowledge, right? He had the knowledge, but he didn't push it back at them. He acted like a 12-year-old would. Spiritual maturity comes from being a good listener. If we want to learn and grow, we need to ask good questions. We need to ask people who have answers. We need to ask people who have a great respect for the text, who write God-glorifying and well-thought-through material for people we read, people that will help us grow spiritually. So Jesus grew because he listened. He also asked questions, which means he also grew because he respected the teachers of the law by asking questions, people who were older than he was. The one who had all the answers asked the questions. See, he chose to act completely like an intelligent 12-year-old boy who had a good handle of Torah but was asking the elders, the teachers, the questions. He did not embarrass them with his knowledge, even though he could have. Instead, he asked questions to give them an opportunity to be taught and learn in such a way that maybe they didn't even realize that's what he was doing. Because who wants to listen to a 12-year-old know-it-all? Who wants to listen to a 52-year-old know-it-all? Or an 82-year-old know-it-all? Nobody, right? Nobody. None of us do, right? So some of these teachers may have been the same ones, I don't know. Some of these teachers may have been the same ones that Jesus is going to encounter 18 years from now. Interesting, eh? Interesting. And that was when he turned 30. Why did Jesus not really do anything until then? Well, in Numbers chapter 4, we read that Moses said that all those Levites need to be counted between 30 and 50, the ages of 30 and 50, because that's when their time of ministry is, between the age of 30 and 50. And so we read in Luke chapter 3 that Jesus began his ministry at the age of 30. Interesting. Why then? Because they wouldn't have listened to him. They wouldn't have listened to Jesus before he was 30, because that's when people had the respect for when to listen to people, for teachers, and so on. So here's another way Jesus models for us how to grow in spiritual maturity. We grow in patience. Everyone loves to do that, right? But we grow in patience. So Jesus intentionally humbled himself to act maturely as a 12-year-old without telling these teachers off or how little they knew of Scripture. He knew he had to wait 18 more years before they would even start to listen to him. Everyone who heard him were amazed at his understanding and answers. Jesus didn't allow pride to get a hold of him and start acting as if he knew more, even though he did, and won the admiration of them, even though he knew that's not what is important in life. And he knew that's fickle. So Jesus would return to the boonies of Nazareth, living in obscurity for another 18 years, patiently waiting for God's timing. What did he do during those 18 years? Well, actually, we're told what he did. He obeyed his parents. He was obedient to his parents, and he continued to grow in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. There you go. That's exciting. Well, yeah. But isn't that what most of us kind of do? Right? I find it interesting that we read about this the year before he became a man, a son of the covenant. Which means when he came back the next year for his bar mitzvah, nothing extraordinary happened. It was the normal bar mitzvah. He probably did really well, right? But it was just an ordinary Jewish 13-year-old boy experience. I mean, wouldn't that have been a good time to reveal himself and show these teachers off when he became a man, a son of the covenant? No, because as a 13-year-old, no one would listen to him. You had to be at least 30 years old pretty well for people to actually take you seriously in that culture. So he had to learn to be patient. He continued to grow spiritually where God planted him, allowing the spiritual influence in his family and his community to mold him and shape him into who God wanted him to be, which means he also grew in trusting God. And that he returned home and lived in obscurity for 18 more years before God revealed him and John the Baptist to the community of Israel meant he had to keep trusting and patiently waiting for God to work his plan in his God's time and God's way by growing spiritually and relationally. But what about all those people who are lost and going to hell all around him in his life? Shouldn't he have taken every opportunity and every encounter to get the gospel out to them and lead them to the Lord? He had to trust God's timing for when and where he ministered to people. We don't know how he lived his life for the most part for those 30 years, other than in perfect obedience to the will of God and trusting God through the life that he lived, he could model the truth in action, which probably would have led to people asking him questions, and he would have had conversations with people like any of us do, and had probably had opportunities to talk to them about spiritual things and pointing them to God. And I'm thinking that's just the way it worked. And that's the way it happened, the same way it works for all of us. And I'm guessing he shared truth naturally as he interacted with people in his day-to-day routine, just like we do in our life. And I hope that encourages us as we live in the Nazareth of our world, right? And live a very routine life, although Tim has great power over in Perth there to get music playing in the town, right? But you know, God wants us to model spiritual maturity in our homes, in our jobs, where we travel, interact with people in a way in which we glorify God and live counterculturally. And when we do that, that invites people to ask questions, most likely. We know that from experience, and that gives us the opportunity to talk about spiritual things. That earns respect, doesn't it? That's when we grow in favor with God and man. We earn the respect of people by just being a likable person who benefits our community in such a way that we also live counterculturally, which invites questions from people to say, hey, how come you don't? Or why do you do this, right? The passage began in verse 39 after Jesus' arrival to the temple as a baby, saying that he grew in strength and wisdom. And then it ends in verse when he's 12, saying essentially the same thing, that Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and the favor with God and man. So we also learn from this last verse that Jesus matured as he aged. As he aged. How many of us are aging? Okay, about five of you. All right? How many of us are maturing as we age, are spiritually maturing as we age? Are we more spiritually mature in our 80s than we were in our 70s? In our 60s than we were in our 50s? In our 40s than we were in our 30s and so on? How do you measure that? Well, there's a few things here from the passage we can ask. Am I a better listener than I was 10 years ago? Am I showing more respect to people? Am I more patient? Am I trusting God more? All those four things that Jesus grew in as well. And if we're struggling to answer that question, maybe it's because we're making very few sacrifices in our life to be with God each day, let alone making sacrifices to do anything extra. Maybe our closest friends are not godly influencers. Perhaps we're more concerned about finding favor with mankind, than we are with God. That word for favor, by the way, is the same word as grace. Grace. God's undeserved blessing. The Apostle Peter ended his first letter telling us to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. Jesus showed grace to people wherever he went in his growing up years, who knew God, you know, people who knew God and people who didn't know God. Jesus treated everyone the same, as far as we know. Being patient, listening, respecting, trusting God for God's timing. He humbly showed he was growing in wisdom when he already knew everything. I would think it's fair to say that the Apostle Peter understood through watching Jesus himself that to grow in spiritual knowledge should result in growing in grace. Grow in the grace and knowledge. Because the more we understand who God is and who we are, the more humbled we should be by his grace to us, that it should result in us showing grace to others. And when we do that, we will grow in favor with God and man. Amen? All right. Father, we're grateful for today. We're grateful for this passage of Scripture, this interesting story about Jesus' childhood, and yet when we analyze it, we study it, we realize that he just grew. He just grew as any other 12-year-old did. Mature 12-year-old listening to his parents, wanting to follow God. Yes, he was perfect. But he humbled himself to be this way and patiently waited for your plan to be revealed in his life 18 years later. Father, we're not that patient. And we don't show us that greater respect. And we don't trust you the way we should. We all know that. So, Father, I pray that this passage of Scripture this morning and how Jesus humbled himself, allowing people to teach him, is a great lesson for us. Do we allow people to teach us? Yeah, sometimes we may know all the answers, or some of the answers. That's okay. They're excited to share something. Let them share it. Or just trusting you, being patient and listening. Not showing we have all the answers, but just listen to people, share, and learn and grow. And ask good questions. And listen to people through books, through conversations. People who know more than we do, who've studied more, who've learned more, who've had greater life experience. We can always learn and grow. Lord, I pray that we are growing individually and well as collectively here in our community, in our own Nazareths, in favor with you and in favor with our community. Lord, I pray that those who oppose evangelicals will see that we improve our communities, that by our lifestyle and by our concern for our communities, that we show that we improve our communities, that in itself would be a great witness to help our country, leaders of our country, realize that we are not a threat, that we are respected and want to improve, and ultimately we want to see them come to know Christ, obviously. But Lord, I pray that we would grow in favor with our communities and our country because of the way we grow in your grace. And help us to be ready to give an answer for the hope that is in us when they ask those questions. In Jesus' name, amen.